8. Creeping her out. She watched Alberto trying to explain the helmet and the laptop to Virgin Security. These two blandly uniformed functionaries didn't look like they were much into the locative. At this point, she had to admit, neither was she. Alberto had some kind of Jim Morrison piece he wanted to show her, up on Wonderland Avenue, and that just wasn't going to work for her. Even if it somehow managed to bypass the Lizard King's iconic churlishness and focus on, say, Ray Manzarek's Calliope pieces, she still didn't want to have to write about invisible virtual monuments to the Doors, any of them. Though, as Inchmail had several times pointed out, back when they themselves had been in a band, Manzarek and Krieger had worked wonders, neutralizing the big guy's sodden crankiness. Standing out here in the evening hydrocarbon, in this retail complex on the corner of Crescent Heights and Sunset, watching Alberto Corrales argue that she, Hollis Henry, really should be allowed to view his virtual rendition of Scott Fitzgerald's Heart Attack, she felt a sort of detachment descend, some extra slack cutting, due quite possibly to her new haircut, executed to her complete satisfaction by a charming and talented young man in the Mondrian's salon. It hadn't been fatal, Fitzgerald's heart attack. Missing Alberto's depiction of it wouldn't be fatal for her article either, or missing most of it, as she had in fact been afforded a brief glimpse, a man in a tweed jacket clutching his chest at a chromed modern counter, a pack of Chesterfields in his right hand. The Chesterfields, she decided, had been in slightly higher resolution than the rest of the place, which had seemed interestingly detailed, down to the unfamiliar shapes of the vehicles out on Sunset. But Virgin Security's unhappiness with anyone donning a mask or mask-like visor in the world music aisle had put a stop to that, with Hollis quickly handing the visor rig to Alberto and hustling straight on out of there. Odile might have been cute enough to charm these guards, but she'd succumbed to an attack of asthma, she'd said, brought on either by the airborne biomass of the previous night's storm or by the near-critical mass of aromatherapy product to be variously encountered in the standard. And still, this calm descended on Hollis, oddly. This unexpected clarity, this moment perhaps of what the late Jimmy Carlyle, the Curfew's Iowan bass player, prior to departing this vale of heroin, had called serenity. Wherein, this calm, she knew herself to be that woman of the age and the history that were hers. Here, tonight, and was more or less okay with it, all of it, at least up till Node had come calling the week before, with an offer she could neither refuse nor really understand. If Node was, as the youthful but metallic Rausch had described it, a technology magazine with a cultural twist, a technology magazine, as she thought of it, with interesting trousers, did it really follow that she, former vocalist for the Curfew and sometime obscure journalist, would be hired for seriously good money to write about this witheringly geeky art trend? But no, said something at the still heart of her moment's calm. No, indeed. And the core anomaly here was embodied, revealed almost certainly, in Rausch having injected that apparent order to meet Bobby Chombo, whoever or whatever he might be, and, having met him, to watch for something to do with shipping, patterns of global shipping. That, she saw, was it, whatever it in this case might be, and likely had nothing to do with Odile Richard and the rest of these people. And then, her gaze on the passing stream of sunset, she saw the Curfew's drummer, Laura Heidi Hyde, driving what Hollis, never really a car person, took to be a smallish SUV of German extraction. If further confirmation had been needed, she knew that Heidi, with whom she hadn't spoken in almost 3 years, lived in Beverly Hills now and worked in Century City, and had almost certainly been glimpsed just now, heading home at day's end.
"Fascist dipshits," Alberto protested, flustered, stepping up beside her with his laptop under one arm, the visor under the other.
Somehow, he seemed too serious-looking to say something like that, and for an instant she imagined him as a character in some graphically simplified animation.
"It's okay," she assured him. "Really, it's okay. I got a look. I saw it. Got the general idea."
He blinked at her. Was he on the verge of tears?
End of disc one.